That is Weezer on KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. My name's Tyler Russell. It's 9:02 in here with Dave, the producer, and Marcus Lindsay, co-founder of Paranormal EXP, the ghost research team, or whatever we want to call it. This is cool because there's a lot of haunted spots in Laguna Beach that I want to touch on. We talked about ghost hunting and paranormal investigating as a career, as a hobby, a few minutes ago. But you and Dave were just chatting about an investigation you did at Alcatraz, which everybody knows is maybe one of the most active spots actually in the country because of, you know, all the stuff that happened there.
Have you ever been there, Tyler?
I have been there. I was a kid. I was still scared.
Yeah.
But there's a part of Alcatraz that you can't really quite get into if you're normal public, right? Is that where you did the hunt or the investigation?
No, actually. Okay, so let me set this up. So we were on a show called Legends of Alcatraz, and it was only Claire and I. And we investigated what was called the Battle of Alcatraz. That was one of the most deadliest escape attempts that prisoners have ever made. That's where some prisoners, make a long story short, prisoners tried to escape, but they killed some guards. In the meantime, locked them in cells, and then they got stuck. They got locked in, so they couldn't leave Alcatraz. So then the National Guard and Army and stuff had to come in and break in and throw grenades down and killed a bunch of people. So we went there to investigate and to see if we could capture any of these sounds or noises associated with the Battle of Alcatraz. And like I was telling Dave, it's pretty creepy because you're in Alcatraz alone.
Right.
And the lights are off and you're walking around.
Why are the lights off? Is that just done for, yeah.
You don't see ghosts during the day, generally.
I suppose not. Yeah, you have to turn the lights off. Okay.
So you're walking around, and it is really spooky. And the thing is, too, though, that people don't realize with this ghost hunting, as you will, that people don't really talk about the psychology in it as well. If you're in a dark place, you know, your mind is all automatic, like as dark as in no lights on. You know, your mind is automatically going to, you know, start seeing things or hearing things. Your other senses are heightened.
Right.
And people, like, if you tell a story about a room where people got killed and murdered and kids got whatever, you know, and you go into this room, your mind is already primed to already think that there's something wrong in this room. But if you said, you know, Betty Crocker cooked biscuits and muffins in here, right, you're not going to have that same feeling. That's the thing, though. Like, in Alcatraz, everybody knows that it's a prison. Everybody knows that, you know, you could research all that you want online about it, and people got killed. So automatically, your mind is already heightened. You're already in that, you know, heightened sense where you feel like the presence of Alcatraz. And it is really kind of spooky being there. You know, it's like, it's a prison. It's like, you know, where all these guys have been locked in for most of their life. Solitary was real. I don't know if you went to solitary.
Yeah,
did you?
Yeah, I remember. I had a friend that was actually kind of a troublemaker, and they closed the door and left him in there for a couple minutes.
Did you go in there?
Yeah, I went in there.
It's pretty creepy.
It's very creepy.
That's the creepiest spot, I think, in Alcatraz, is going inside solitary and closing the door.
Yeah.
You feel like you don't want to be in there, and it's really weird. It feels like, I can't say that there's somebody in there with you, but it just doesn't feel right. It feels like, you know, your goosebumps are crazy, and it feels really strange in solitaire. Another thing, too, that people don't usually talk about when they investigate on Alcatraz is seagulls. Seagulls are, it's an island. Mm-hmm. You know, Alcatraz is an island, and seagulls are loud.
Right.
And so people don't really talk about, and it sounds like babies crying, or it sounds like people, you know, laughing, and people don't really, did you hear the seagulls when you were there by any chance?
Oh yeah, there's tons of them.
Yeah, and so people don't really talk about that, like, on ghost hunting shows.
Right.
And a lot of those sounds could be accounted for, like, seagulls, you know, I mean, but
sure,
people don't
realistically.
Really realistically, right. But for entertainment value, you know.
So what did you find in your investigation of Alcatraz?
Well, what we found was, it's more of what we heard. Claire and I were in this place called the Cutoff, and the Cutoff is where the grenades fell down from the ceiling and literally killed some guys. While we were in this Cutoff area, we were hearing what sounded like boots or footsteps walking down the corridor, And again, we're,
like with your ears,
with our ears,
or later
ears,
on the recorder. Okay.
Yeah, with our ears. So then we decided to like follow, you know, follow, try to figure out maybe there's somebody there, maybe it's something else. You
the
know?
Only person who would follow the footsteps, by the way, once you hear, yeah. Danger.
So then, so we walk and we don't see anything, you know, and then we hear him again, like down the corridor again, but we have no idea what's causing these sounds. We also hear like banging on the bars, kind of like, I don't know how, maybe like a nightstick of a guard,
sure,
like going down, you know, going down the bars. But we only heard that a few times, like a few like clings, you know. On one of our recorders that it didn't make it onto the show, we captured what sounds like a young, just by the voice of it, it sounds like a young African-American male slang, and I forgot what he was saying, but it sounded completely out of place because it was totally static, like shh, and then you hear this voice, and then it goes shh, and it sounds really weird. I forgot exactly what it says right now, but it's like, it sounded like a younger African-American guy talking. So we don't know where that came from.
Right.
And that's the cool thing about doing these paranormal, you know, investigations is you're going to capture sometimes these strange voice anomalies on your recorders. And that's kind of, you know, why people say things are haunted. And I don't think I've ever called a place haunted.
Sure.
I kind of will say, you know, strange things happen there that we can't explain what happened. Or it's happened to other people, but I don't know if people can actually make a claim saying something is haunted.
Do you have something that really sticks out in your mind as one of the most prominent pickups you've ever gotten on your recorder, or something that happened to you at a place that was really a standout experience for you while investigating somewhere?
I mean, we've captured a lot of great EVPs and a lot of voices that we can't explain. Like I was saying before, Vulture City Mine is crazy. We old schoolhouse. Nobody's around. It was built in the 1800s. We're in the middle of nowhere. And we captured what sounds like kids laughing. And it sounds like it's kind of like school's in session kind of thing. You
right.
know, like all these kids and you hear kind of like two women. And we're like, where did these women and voices and where did they come from? We've also got weird voices at this one house. We do live investigations with JoJo Wright on Kiss FM.
Right.
We've captured some really strange voices on a live show that we did with him where it was saying somebody's name. That was the daughter of the owner of the house.
Wow.
But again, you know, your mind is primed to believe that your mind sees patterns. It hears patterns. You look in the sky with clouds, you see a face, right? There's not a face. You see a dog or Snoopy, right? It's like your minds are designed to see patterns and hear patterns. So whenever you're playing back these EVPs, if you just play the raw file back for a room full of five people, I almost guarantee that five people might hear five different things.
Sure.
You know? But the way that we translated some of these things, it does sound, like I was saying, like it was a girl's voice, the girl's name of the homeowner for that investigation. But again, it could just be our minds wanting to hear these, you know, these voices.
So for a place like here in town, Arch Beach Tavern, supposedly a really haunted spot here in Laguna, but to use the word haunted could probably just mean that several people over the years have heard or experienced things, and now it's kind of had this connotation to it. Now where any small noise happens in the hallways of that place, there's a ghost or whatever.
That's exactly correct.
Right.
I mean, it could have just started with a story, and now all of a sudden you hear a knocking down the hall, but nobody went to really go check. That could be the windows knocking, or, you know, then all of a sudden over the years these stories build up, and
right.
now this place is deemed haunted.
Right.
But again, you know, if people do see something, you know, visually or feel something, it's real to them.
Well, Dave, what was that story we read yesterday about at the Arch Beach Tavern?
Well, there was a couple of them. There was somebody reported seeing a little girl playing in the back of the building. like playing with a ball or something. A couple people have actually said that. And then somebody else, this was the creepiest one, is that somebody else experienced a woman like in her bed. You know,
She woke up and there was literally someone in her bed.
Yeah, yeah. And then she screamed and she disappeared. You know, wow. Or you know, people walking down the hallway and in creaks. I mean, I think the building was built in 1913 or
right.
You,
there's
like
a picture
that.
Of it. Of, it's just it.
It looks and, like The Shining.
Right, and there's just hills around it. There's nothing now. Of course, there's other stuff over there.
Yeah.
And now it's an apartment complex, but people who live there still claim to hear and see things. So. Maybe a place to stop and check out sometime.
Definitely stop by. I might stop by later today and check it out.
We've been talking about some of the places he's investigated. We're talking about some haunted spots in Laguna Beach. Arch Beach Tavern is one. The Royal Hawaiian Restaurant is another. And this one surprises me. Tiamo Restaurant. Have you ever heard of any of those being as haunted?
I've heard rumors of these places, but I've only heard about the Arch Beach.
Right.
That's the most popular one I've heard of.
It scares me now. I've eaten at Tiamo like 10 times. It's literally like a block away from my house. They have delicious olive bruschetta dip. I hope it's not haunted because
you never know.
That creeps me out a little bit. Marcus, you guys were talking about how you investigated the Linda Vista Hospital, which is a very known haunted, we'll use the word haunted just because it's a familiar word, haunted location because it's an abandoned hospital. It's used for movie sets. You have to get a permit to investigate it. But you guys were part of a challenge. You want to tell us about that real fast?
Yeah, we were on a show called Paranormal Challenge. That was Zach Bagan's show from Ghost Adventures. It's basically was a reality challenge show where they put two teams against each other to find the best evidence, to see who works well as a team, to use equipment and history. And so we won based on a EVP that we captured at Linda Vista.
Cool.
And it sounded like a woman's voice that was not with us.
What was the – do you remember what she said?
Something like, please help, or –
something terrifying.
It sounded like it sounded like either a patient or a nurse like needed help.
And it was clearly audible enough and recognizable enough that you won the challenge.
Yes.
Ghost story time, Dave. You were going to share something
before,
that happened.
Well, before I get to that, yeah. I do have one question for you. What kind of tools are necessary for going into a place that's, you know, that there have been sightings and people have had experiences, like what kind of things are you going to use? Because from what I've seen, the technology is really interesting. There's you know, thermal gear and
James Bond stuff.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
You know, what's interesting about thermal. Let me tell you about thermal. So the cool, so we've used FLIR thermal cameras and stuff before. I don't want to ruin anything, but I'm going to drop a little thing here. So talking to FLIR. They told us that none of the shows have ever seen any paranormal things with using their cameras. The problem is that ghost hunters don't do right is use the FLIR correctly. They use it on a rainbow setting. That's the one that you see on TV.
Right.
That it goes from hot to cold, but that's the wrong settings you're supposed to use it on. It looks great for TV again.
Sure.
But they told us at FLIR that unfortunately everything that they've seen can be explained, but not to say that people have not seen things with FLIR. The equipment that we use, you use everything from meters to detect, you know, electromagnetic fields that you can't see. Those are fields that, you know, your phone gives off, batteries give off, outlets give off. It's a little field around that surrounds anything with the charge, basically. We give off a little bit. The Earth gives off some as well. And they believe that these spirits or ghosts reside in these, you know, invisible fields. Also, you know, digital recorders are very popular. Analog recorders with tapes are actually more popular because the theory was that the voices got implanted on the magnetic strip on the cassette, you know, before.
Wow.
Digital recorders are a little different, however, because it just records the ambient noise onto a digital, like memory stick or whatever it does. Those are the basic things you really need is a digital camera, a digital recorder, a flashlight, obviously, when it's dark.
Which it usually is.
Most of the time it is, yeah. And maybe like a meter to detect these fields. Anything else, I mean, you can use the, you know, we use home security cameras, IR cameras. We have all that stuff as well. But thing that people capture the most activity on is usually a basic digital recorder that you can buy anywhere at Target or wherever. The cheapest one is usually the most effective. Hmm. Now, we have ones that, you know, for $15 all the way up to $400. And you know what? The most effective ones, again, are the lower quality ones, because they don't have, like, a filter on them like the higher quality microphones have.
There was a tactic that was used when I went out, again, to the Pasadena Suicide Bridge. We went under the bridge. We investigated all these suicides, these jump-offs that had happened there, where the team would actually pose a question to the supposed spirits that were nearby. They would say something like, spirits, we know you're here. If you are nearby, please make a sound. And that's when I tense up, because I'm like, oh man, something is about to happen. And you'd like watch a trash can to see if it gets knocked over or something ridiculous, right? If I went in Tiamo restaurant right now and posed a question to a spirit, is it feasible or possible that something would indeed happen after that?
If you believe that a spirit can do something, or
right,
if you do believe that it's, you know, that you believe in ghosts, then yes, it can happen. However, if you're trying to be a skeptic in this as well and trying to figure out what caused it, you know, if you ask a question, hey, tip over this garbage can, and all of a sudden it moves a little bit, now that could have been the wind. That could
sure.
have been, you know, whatever.
Again, your mind. Yeah.
You know, so you just have to rationalize what it can be. And obviously, Suicide Bridge, you're outside, you're, you know, wind is blowing, cars are going over the bridge
very
at all times.
Very scary place.
So there's a lot of noise things that you can hear that can be translated into, oh my God, did you hear that? What was that? You know, so the best place to be is in a confined room like we are in now, where there's no wind and there's, I mean, we can hear the cars outside, obviously, but a place where it's quiet, you
right.
know, and then see then if you can capture any kind of voices that aren't, you know,
because then
present.
it'd be obvious that that's indeed what it was.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
I say we get a KX93.5 ghost hunting
in our 3-year old building. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. At least buy a recorder.
Okay. Yeah. We can try it. Let's use Marcus since he happens to be here.
There
do you
go.
Have a recorder
Let's
with
do
you?
I do not.
Okay. Never mind.
Okay.
Next time. Real quick, Dave, do you want to do one more wrap up ghost story for us before we go?
Yeah, I at my old office, I was working late and I was waiting for somebody to come by. We were gonna work on some podcast stuff, and I fell asleep in this nice comfy purple chair, and I started to kind of wake up a little bit, and I felt like I was awake, and I tried to get up and I couldn't, and it was like something was
this has happened to me
holding yeah, yeah it was like something was holding me down, so. I finally was able to get up, and I turned and I looked around, and there was nobody there. And I started walking around the office, which wasn't really that big, and there was nobody there. And then I called my friend that I was waiting for, and she was like an hour away. So it was really weird. And I also heard, like, you know, kind of like a whisper, like, "What are you doing?" like in my ear. But it wasn't it wasn't malicious. It was just like it was like somebody was just there, almost like comforting me. And the building used to be an old hotel back in, like, the 1920s.
Yeah.
So who knows?
I looked this up after I had a very similar experience. I was on Vicodin at the time, just to preface the story. I had just broken my foot, and I was taking a nap. And I also thought I had woke up, went to move and do something, and I couldn't. I literally couldn't move my body. And I, like, a deceased dog came to me. Like at me, and I like saw him, felt him, heard him, and then I snapped out of it.
What? Let me ask you a question. Was the Vicodin prescribed?
Yes.
Okay.
It was. I'd broken my foot, but I looked it up, and it's called sleep paralysis. I don't know if we had the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's and it happens like 1 in 30 people or something, and it might happen your whole life or once, where you are in this extra stage of sleep where you literally you're paralyzed, but you're fully conscious and you can't move or do anything.
Well, that's what they say, like out of body experiences that'll happen,
right?
You know, if you're lucid dreaming, things like
sure.
that, that's kind of along the same lines. So what that, is that something paranormal, or is that just,
well, like, I mean, like you were saying, it's a sleep paralysis. That was the technical definition for it.
Right.
Now, is it somebody holding you down, or is it a medical explanation for it? His symptoms were he was on Vicodin. Now, you can make the case that, you know, maybe he wasn't, you know, 100%, you know, in a right frame of mind, and he was actually hallucinating. However, it could have been something else, you know, doing
sure.
it. So, I mean, obviously you just woken up from a sleep and now you could have had that sleep paralysis.
Right.
So, I mean, it's really hard to say. I mean, it's very possible something paranormal could have happened to both of you. On the flip side, it could have been something explained. So we always have to look for the rational explanations first and then take it from there. If we can't find any rational explanations, then we can, you know, maybe hopefully it's a ghost.
Yeah.
Again, Marcus Lindsay, bordering the line of skepticism and belief for ghost research. I like your style, man. Paranormal EXP, where can people find you on the web or whatever?
Our website, paranormalexp.com. We're on Twitter, paranormalexp_, just Google paranormalexp.
Okay, and we will indeed podcast this whole interview online. We'll tweet it at you or whatever. Would love to have you back. Stay in touch with what you guys are doing. And in fact, I have some ghost investigating things in mind for the radio show that we could eventually do perhaps together. And these places in town, Arch Beach Tavern, Royal Hawaiian, Tiamo Restaurant, supposedly the reported haunted spots in Laguna. So we hope to find out more about those too in the future.
The high school also.
The high school, high school, yes, of course. So thank you so much, man.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
We really appreciate you coming down. We will be back on KX93.5. Let's do the Freelance Whales.